St. Mary Magdalene is one of the New Testament saints, and in the 11th, 12th century, she was a very popular recipient of church dedications. In medieval legend, she hadn't just been the woman who washed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, and the woman who brought ointment to anoint his body at the grave and who was the first witness of the resurrection, but she had sailed off in a boat with no rudder and no sails, and had become the first preacher of the gospel in France, then supposedly retreated into the desert for 30 years to do penance for her sins. And she's the subject of one of the greatest early Renaissance statues, which portrays her as a gaunt outcast, really, a voluntary outcast. She was the classic example of a penitent sinner. And disease in the Middle Ages could be, it wasn't invariably, but it could be associated with sin. And lepers were people isolated from the community. They lived in waste places, like Stourbridge Common. And it may be that aspect of her cult that made her the favoured dedicatee of leper hospitals.
So the leper chapel was built, we believe, in the late 1100s. We know very little about it. The only records from that time tell us that people gave land in order that there should be some money to support the community of lepers and their monks who were looking after them. The leper chapel is a beautiful, small little church building. It just has sort of two parts, a larger part for the congregation, a smaller part for the priest. It's built of random stones and brick. It has one or two beautiful little sculptured archways in the door and the windows. And it sits in its own little quiet, grassy close all on its own. Present circumstances are difficult because, yes, it was next to a busy road. That was the point, really, of putting it there in the first place. But then the railway came along down one side and it's cut it off in a way from local people and local access. Yes, you can still walk down the very steep steps to go and visit the chapel, but it's difficult for vehicles and it's difficult for people who may just be passing and not think they've got time to go through the gate and down the little steps. Walk around. Inside, it's now a very simple two-chamber building, whitewashed very nicely. It has some of the old original carving, so the arch between the nave and the chancel has this beautiful zigzag Norman carving around it from the 1100s. So it would have been used as an active chapel with regular worship probably every day. They would have said, the priests would have said mass there and the lepers would have attended. We just have this one note saying there are no lepers. Well, we don't know if there were some after that. You know, did they say to the warden, look, there are some sick people out here, you must look after them. So we don't really hear very much about it until in the 16th century, all this sort of chapel, all these little freestanding chapels, which it's implied were praying for the departed, the souls of the dead, were closed down by government and their assets removed. So at this point, it stops being a chapel. But also by this time, it's really useful for the fair, which has been growing up around it for 300 years and more. And so it becomes storage space. So although the other buildings go, the chapel is a really good, strong place in which to store the timbers from the booths for the fair. And then when fair time occurs, they've all been taken out, and then it's handy to let it for commercial purposes, which seem to have been usually as a pub.
One red apple falling to the ground. This was something Isaac Newton found, and he said if apples fall straight down to the ground, then it must be gravity.
Isaac Newton visits the fair, and we know, because he writes it down in his little notebook where he causes expenses, and he certainly goes and buys a book on astronomy, which at that point he hadn't really taken up. So this was something new that he was encouraged to by visiting the bookstalls. And he also records buying the prism that he's ultimately going to experiment with light to show how your white light is split up into the colours of the rainbow and so on.
I thought about Stourbridge Fair, and I thought about one person. And maybe this was a person who lived a long time ago. So in a way, it's a kind of ghost monologue. Newton, apple pie, prisms or prisons. That's what it's called. A meeting with a stranger, and the stranger starts talking. Excuse me, sir, your apple pie looks good. I have a knife. You seem not keen to share. Is pie so rare, you think? One man, one pie? Come, come. What if we always thought like that? How can you be so sure the apple's yours? Did it not once grow on an orchard tree whose roots went deep into the ground below, where water trickled in from round about? Whose water was helping that?